everybody yet? Have y'all just run everybody off for what in the world? You know what? I can say this to y'all and whoever's listening. But the way the Spirit of God's been moving, I kind of don't want to miss church. I mean, I just don't. But you know what? I've been reading on all these revivals. Hey, Bertha. I've been reading about all these revivals and all these moves of God. And you know how they started? Almost every single one of them started with one person. One person. So we know God's going to move. And I'm excited about that. So hallelujah. There'll be some more come in. But I hope you guys are doing good. Got a couple announcements. We will be having a new members class March the 27th. I think it's the 27th. It's on Sunday. Anita had put it up the other day. We were going to do a baptismal service, but a couple people that's been wanting to get baptized for a while are not going to be able to be here. So we're going to postpone it for a couple more weeks, and it'll be on our New Vision page. If you're wanting to come to the new members class, please go on newvisionnc.org and fill out the new members form, and then we'll meet in the kitchen at 9:45 at Sunday morning. We'll announce it again later. Also, we got a trustee board meeting, town hall meeting. What's the date on it, JC? Not next Wednesday, but the next. I think it's like the 24th or 23rd. 24th, okay. Wednesday, 23rd. Tracy, be quiet back there. Get your calendar out or something. No, that was the 31st? Okay, it's the 31st. Never mind. None of us know what we're talking about, so we're just winging it. So the 31st, we have a town hall meeting in here. It's very important, so make sure that you're here. Other than that, anybody got anything that I am missing? I can't think of anything else. Y'all good? Okay, so we good. Y'all stand with me. We're going to pray. Remember, your offering goes in after service. They'll have it back there. Make sure you mark your tithes and offerings, but anything else goes to our missions offering, okay? So love you guys, and looking forward to the message tonight. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We honor you in this place, and we do thank you for everything that you've been doing. We thank you for the Spirit moving in this place. I don't care if there's two or three here. I do care, but I don't care. As long as you're here, as long as you're moving, and as long as we're moving forward in the things of the Spirit and growing spiritually and maturing, then, Lord, we've said this many times, and I've told you this in private time and in public time, in front of the public, that I don't care if we have 20 people here that's sold out wanting to worship God. I'd rather have 20 people here sold out, fired up, filled with the Holy Spirit, than to have 5,000 that are playing games. So, Lord, you just bring them in, and we're not fussing. We know some people's got a lot of stuff going on and everything, but just sometimes bother you that people's priorities are not the house of God. So we'll leave it at that. So you know what's going on. You know how to move. You know what to do. But tonight is a fresh night, a new night. And we come in here just ready for you to move because, you know, you want to move. There was thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Jerusalem, but there's only 120 in the upper room. So we want that upper room experience tonight, Lord. So move by your Spirit. I thank you for the guys that are going to worship with us tonight, lead us into worship. Bless the middle school, the youth, the children's church, and the nursery, and everything that's going on there. But God, thank you for moving. Thank you for not passing us by, and that you will stop right here. This is your place because you have a remnant that's seeking the face of God. And Lord, we have dedicated ourselves to you. We've said yes. And no matter who else says yes, Lord, we say yes. And we trust you, Lord. And we just thank you for moving by your Spirit. I pray for Greg tonight as he's recovering from his surgery. Pray for Debbie tonight. I know she's not feeling good. Pray that you minister to her. Pray for Wolf and Tana and some of those, Lord, that are struggling. God, we just ask you to touch our people, Lord. Help our people to walk in victory. Help our people to walk in faith. And, Lord, we just give you praise for everything that you're doing in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I saw, y'all can sit down. Don't sit down. We're getting ready to worship. Hallelujah. I was going to, you know, kind of incorporate this in my message, but I want to share something with you. I wrote this down. It says, don't dig up in doubt what you planted in faith. Robert Wise, a pastor friend of mine, put that on Facebook today, and I saw it, and I thought, boy, that's good. Don't dig up in doubt what you planted in faith. If you planted in faith, leave it there and just water it. You know, there's a lot of people that claim healing. They claimed it in faith, and then they just dig it right back up. You start feeling bad. Oh, I'm going to dig it up. Quit digging. Quit digging. Throw the dirt on it. Leave it alone. Let God take care of it. Amen? Anyway, that's just a little nugget for you. You ready? You ready? All right, let's go.
Found in your name the power to save, with only a whisper mountain shake. Jesus, our hope and strength. You made a way, you unlocked these chains. Now here in your presence, strongholds break. Jesus, our hope and strength. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Found in your name the power to save. Hear me, a whisper, mountain shake. Jesus, our hope and strength. You made a way, you unlocked these chains. Now here in your presence, strongholds break. Jesus, by the love you gave, we give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. There on a tree, merciful King, the Father laid down His Son. From darkness to light, death lost to life, heaven and earth will join and sing. Jesus has overcome, and we give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. Only bring you glory. soul will rise to only bring you glory. We bring you glory. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. That's in my lungs, my heart cries out, to you belongs the glory, oh, the glory. Through every loss or victory, my soul will rise to only bring you glory. We bring you glory, and we give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all.
Your love is devoted, like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. And your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. And faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. You father the orphan, kindness makes us whole, and you shoulder our weakness, and your strength becomes our own. And you're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes, so you will have your bride, free of all her guilt and rid of all her shame, and known by her true name. And it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. And you will be praised. Oh, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. And you will be praised. And you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. Yes, you will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. Oh, you will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. And it's why I sing your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lord. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will see. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Bless the Lord. Come on, church.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I worship Your holy name.
Oh, lift Your voice.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
We worship You.
I worship Your holy name. Oh, I worship Your holy name. I worship Your holy name.
Hallelujah. Man. We're singing that song, and it says, fix my gaze on Jesus' face. You know, I know it's hard. It's hard for me to comprehend what's going to happen. But with everything that's going on, with the move of God's Spirit that I feel like is coming and is starting, I said today, it's like birth pains. But guys, those of us that serve God, that are walking according to His will and doing what He's asked us to do with everything that's within us and trying our best to be faithful and do the things He's called us to do, and we're saved, we're going to see that. We are going to see that, man. And it's just kind of mind-boggling, because I know what the Word says is going to happen. That the rapture of the church is going to take place, and we're going to be caught up, and we're going to see Jesus face to face. We're going to see Him. I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, you know, I love coming to church, man. I mean, I look so forward to having church services and stuff. And I love coming in here and seeing you guys. You're my family. I love coming here and seeing the worship team and just everything that God's doing, all the little things that everybody don't get to know about that we see and that God just gives us confirmation. All those things are wonderful. But you know what? When we see Jesus, we're going to forget about everything. I mean, We're going to forget about everything. And it's almost like we believe it by faith, but it's almost like in a way, when you really think about it, it's like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen, man. This is going to happen. I wrote in my Bible today, and I'll show you in a little while, but I wrote in my Bible today, he did it. He rose from the dead. I'm going to talk about that right here. They didn't know that, but that's what he did. He rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your confirmation. It's kind of not even blows us away anymore. We're just getting just so happy and ecstatic about the things that you do and how you set everything up. But I just praise you for everything. I praise you for the church. I praise you for those that are here, Lord. Those that wanted to be here, couldn't be here, Lord. We're going to keep pressing in. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep praying and believing for a move of your spirit in this place. And not only in this place, but in our individual lives. I'm seeing it. I'm hearing it. I'm experiencing it myself. And God, I know that you're moving in a different way than you've ever moved before. And so we accept that and we receive it. Those that accept it and receive it are gonna go on with you and be brought into such a walk with you that we've never experienced before. And then some are going to sit back and just watch, Lord. And God, we pray for them and we want to encourage them. Sometimes we get frustrated when we see people just pulling back instead of pressing forward. But you know what? You had 500 people following you and only 12 stayed there. So, Lord, we're going to follow you. All our eggs are in your basket. All our trust and hope are in you. And, Lord, I thank you that you've got a remnant. You've got a remnant in this world. You've got a remnant in the church. You got people that are seeking the face of God, that are hungry for a move of God. And I know you're going to hear our prayer. We love you and we give you praise for everything. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You got the right bottle?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Hallelujah. I'm excited because, you know, Tommy sends out what he's going to sing, and not because of him, to be disrespectful for him, but he understands this. Most of the time I don't even look at the songs because I don't want to try to put anything together. And I actually added these verses tonight when I was sitting in my office. So I want you to go to Luke chapter 18, and I want you to go to verse 31. And, you know, we've been talking about the rich young ruler and how, you know, he was rich. And when the Lord told him, there's one thing that you're not doing, he said, go and sell everything you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. And so I was studying through, and I was actually supposed to be over in chapter 19 around verse 11. But, man, I started studying this. I'm like, no, this is too good. So I want you to look, and I appreciate you guys coming. Y'all are awesome. Look at each other and say, you're awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While I'm thinking about it, since you're so awesome and you're so faithful, we are having a work day. I forgot JJC's back here. Hey, I had you, buddy. I had you. We're having a work day the 27th. Hallelujah. And sign up. Some people, well, JC and Anita was back there, and they was looking at me and said, we ain't going to sign up. I said, y'all need to sign up so people won't think that only going to be only four or five people there. So plus, it's mostly people that hadn't even been coming to church long that signed up. So y'all go sign up. We're going to come out here and get it knocked down. It's going to be beautiful. Amen? Look at verse 31. I added these tonight because, well, probably because they just sung what they sung. But anyway, this is good. It says, remember, he just talked to the rich young ruler, and he said it was impossible, almost impossible, not impossible, impossible with man, but not impossible with God, for a rich person to get to heaven, okay? And that's what we've been talking about, discipleship. And so I want you to watch this. Jesus took 12 disciples to the one side. He told them, we're going up to Jerusalem. Now, I want you to realize that this is his very last time that he was going. He knew he was going to die, and he wanted to explain it to him and talk to him. He said, everything that the prophets wrote about the Son of Man will come true. And they did, every single thing that they said. He will be handed over to the Gentiles because the Jews would do that. They will make fun of him. They will laugh at him. They will spit on him. They will whip him, and they will kill him on the third day. On the third day. When y'all started singing that a minute ago, I was like, oh my goodness, they ain't got a clue. On the third day, he will rise again. And that's where I put in red writing, amen, he did. If something ever happens to me and I die, Glenn, after you read all these little footnotes and stuff, because you said you like to read that, you need to pass this along and let everybody see some of the stuff, because it's pretty neat how God speaks and you write things down and all that. But then it says this, the disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, so they didn't know what Jesus was talking about. See, they had their own concept of what the Savior was going to do, how he was going to do it. And so a lot of the stuff that was taking place had to be hid from them, or they would try to, they'd try to do something different, okay? Now, here we go. Remember, Jesus is on his way into Jerusalem, into Jericho. He's on his way in. Just left the rich young ruler, just talked to the disciples, and he says this. Jesus was approaching Jericho, and a blind man was sitting by the side of the road begging. The blind man heard the crowd going by, and he asked, what is happening? What's going on? He heard this big commotion. He's blind. He can't see. So he's asking, what in the world's going on? They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. The greatest thing he ever heard was that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. 1983, September 23rd, 1983. I didn't hear it like that, but I did hear it in my spirit. And I said yes to Jesus and accepted the Lord. It's the greatest news I ever had in my life. Changed my life, and it changed his life. So the blind man called out. King James says he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, we can just read through that and skip on, but when he said that, he was proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah. That was a declaration that he had already heard about Jesus, knew about Jesus, and accepted him as the Messiah, or he wouldn't have cried out like that. Jesus, Son of David, in Psalms, Proverbs, different places that prophesied that Jesus was the Son of David. Amen. And so he was saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then it says this, those who led the way commanded him to stop, or they told him to shut up. The religious people, even some of the disciples probably, that already, if you go back over just another verse, all this stuff ties in together, that already told the children to leave him alone. You know, now they're telling the adults to leave. Who did they want to go to Jesus? I mean, they tell the children to quit, and then they tell this grown-up to shut up. So, I mean, who was it that they wanted to come to Jesus? Just them, therefore, no more? Oh, y'all are looking at me like that. All this stuff ties together. Everything Jesus was teaching his disciples was tying together because he knew he was getting ready to go, and he had to do a crash course on this is the way you handle things. So Bartimaeus starts crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they looked at him and they told him to be quiet. There's people that's going to tell you to quit worshiping. There's people that's going to tell you to quit talking about Jesus. There's people that's going to try to shut us up. You hear me? It's happening. It's probably happening in some of your work. Amen? It's happening in this world like crazy. They're going to try to shut us up because we're crying out to Jesus because we know he's the only one who can help us. We know that he's the Son of God, the Son of David. We know that, and they're going to try to shut us up. And like somebody just said, good luck, it ain't happening. And he said this. They told him to be quiet. Shut up. But I love this right here, old blind Bartimaeus. We need to all take a lesson from blind Bartimaeus. It said, but he shouted even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. He wasn't shutting up. You know why? Because he had been blind. He had been set out by that gate. He was a beggar. And now the one that he's heard about, the only one that can do anything about his situation, come by and he's saying, hey, don't leave. This might be my last chance. I need you, Lord. You know what? That's the kind of conviction I want y'all to start praying that takes place in this service. Y'all listen to me for a minute. I've been studying these things about revival and stuff. I'm reading. And every single one of them, the intercessors prayed that the Spirit of God would convict people. Y'all, we don't see conviction no more. You can listen, I don't care, but it's just the truth. We don't see conviction like we used to see. Back when I was growing up, I remember when me and Glenna went to church, and I remember that Sunday I gave my life to the Lord. I was under conviction before then. I'm talking about hardcore, chest-pounding conviction. And for the last 2 weeks, two weeks ago, I stood up here and just was in intercession and just weeping and crying and begging people to come to Christ. And then Anita, this past Sunday, God gave her a word, and she just weeping, you know, begging. Used to, the altars would have been slammed full. There's no conviction. So intercessors, listen. If you're listening, you're intercessor, pray for conviction. Because we can come in here and we can preach and we can sing and we can be anointed. But unless people are under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's nothing's going to change. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I don't care how good I preach or how good they sing or how good this church is and how welcoming this church is and it's all those things. If the conviction of the Holy Spirit don't draw people to Christ, they're not going to get saved. Just because they walk down here to this altar or they go to my new members class and they join this church, that don't save anybody. Y'all know that. So we need the conviction power of the Holy Ghost to come on people's lives. That way they will change. That's the only way people's going to change. You know, you ain't turning over another leaf or a better leaf and all that stuff. That don't work. Because when you turn one over, you find poop underneath it. Hallelujah. Amen, I said it. Look at what he said. He shouted the louder. Jesus, a son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. What does it take to stop Jesus? What does it take to stop Jesus? Somebody that's hungry for him. Somebody that's serious. Somebody that truly has a need that's crying out to him. He will stop. Matter of fact, this ain't in my notes. I ain't got none. But matter of fact, he not only will stop, but he'll stand up. You say, how you get that, preacher? Go read Acts chapter 7. Stephen was being stoned. I believe it's chapter 7 or 6. Stephen was being stoned. And it said as he was telling them, Lord, forgive them, he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Jesus was standing up watching Stephen get stoned. Jesus stopped. Jesus was going to die. He was going to fulfill everything the prophet said. He was on his way, just told his disciples, I'm going and all these things are going to happen. And Jesus is busy. He's got a lot on his mind. You think we got a lot on our mind. Sometimes I think my mind's fried. Jesus had a lot on his mind. But that man got his attention. And you know what? I believe it all in my heart. When we pray and we seek the face of God and we're serious, we get his attention. He listens to us. And I believe a church, I believe Jesus will skip over 1,000 churches that's playing games for one church. I don't care if they got 10 people. If they're serious, he'll stop right there and he'll stay with them. He'll pour his spirit out. And that's what I'm wanting. Amen. Golly, Jesus stopped. And then it says he ordered the man to be brought to him. I want to tell you something about Jesus. Jesus had authority. A lot of people in the world talk about Jesus had a crutch and they'll do pictures of him being sissified and all that. Jesus was a man of authority. He didn't play no games. He said, bring that man to me. All these other people telling him to shut up, be quiet, trying to get in front of him where Jesus can't hear him. Don't bother the master. Don't mess with him. And Jesus said, y'all get out of the stinking way and bring him to me. I remember going to Pensacola, Florida, and I seen people that were the roughest looking people you ever seen in your life. And the Holy Ghost would get them, and they would run down the altars. And all these religious people with ties and all this stuff sitting back there like this. And the Holy Ghost all over them people. Because why? Because they was hungry. They knew they needed help. That's the problem in the church today. People don't know they need. They sat in here. I'm talking about New Vision. They sat in here on Sunday mornings, and they don't even realize they need help. They are comfortable in their religion. They're comfortable in it. They're okay with it. I go to church. I pay my tithes. But are you doing what God's called you to do? Are you witnessing? Are you loving people? Are you praying for people? Are you helping people get delivered? Are you raising up disciples is what we've been talking about for a year and 14 months. I know that's a year and 2 months, but I said it anyway. I mean, you know what I'm saying? People are comfortable. They're comfortable living in their sin. They're comfortable because the church ain't said nothing. And Jesus stopped and he ordered a man to be brought to him. Man, Jesus can stop his service anytime he wants to and bring people to him. That's what I'm praying, man. We used to see that in revival in Milan. We'd see people just come down and run to the altar, man. I pray for the day when I don't even have to give an altar call. It happens before I even have to say it, because intercessors have prayed and believed God for the conviction of the power of God to fall on people during the worship or during whenever. And the altars are full, and I just stand up here and smile. When Tommy did that the other day, I just stood back there and smiled. Hallelujah. Y'all ready? Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When the man came near, Jesus spoke to him. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus answered. Or Jesus asked, look at all the people that was around. Do you see him? Asked anybody else, what do you want me to do for you? No. You know why? Because they was doing this, walking around him. They was just wanting to be around him. But this man got Jesus' attention. This man, because he yelled out and he didn't care what anybody else. That's another thing in worship. Susie, I know y'all see it. And Tommy, you see it. Y'all are like me, man. I want to see people worship the Lord, not just stand there. Worship the Lord. Why are you afraid to raise your hands? Why are people afraid to be in church and raise their hands? It ought to be normal and natural for you to raise your hands in a sanctuary. That's what he said. If you feel uncomfortable in the church raising your hands, something's wrong with your pride. Hallelujah. It's Wednesday night, and I done ticked off my Wednesday night crowd. I hope all y'all worshipers. You know, I'm going to just say it. If you're not a worshiper, shame on you. Shame on you if you're not a worshiper. If you're afraid to raise your hands in the house of God, shame on you. Don't post your crap all over Facebook, how bold you are and all this stuff. You're a dang keyboard warrior. Hide behind a keyboard and run your mouth about how spiritual you are and everything and come in church. No, you better get off of that, man. You better come into the house of God and worship. I don't care what none of y'all think about me. I'm going to worship. I'm going to do whatever I feel like God tells me to do. If I'm the only one shouting, if I'm the only one dancing, if I'm the only one maybe running, I need to run. I just need to do it. Curtis, run one for him. No, I'm kidding. No, but come on, man. Who cares? We in church. We in the house of God. We ain't supposed to be dignified. I mean, this man, he wasn't dignified. He didn't care. He needed to be healed. You need to be healed. You got people in your family that needs to be saved. Some of you are physically sick. You need to be healed. You need to be shouting out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me in this house. In this house. Amen. Well, hallelujah. You know, I love reading y'all's stuff on Facebook, though, for real. I really do, because I can see God is just changing some of you and growing you. But listen, rub off. Rub off. Don't come in here and sit down. You're sitting down beside somebody and say, well, I don't want them to think I'm crazy. I hope they think you're crazy. I hope they think you fell off the spiritual wagon and that you just fell and bumped your head and you worshiping the Lord. They thought this guy was crazy and he's the only one that Jesus stopped for. He's the only one that Jesus stopped for. Well, at this moment, he is. I got more. Jesus said, well, he said, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. Lord, I want to be able to see. The blind man replied, and we would too. And Jesus said unto him, receive your sight. The disciples' faith has made you whole. The preacher's faith has made you whole. The church's faith has made you. Your grandma's faith, your pawpaw's faith, your elder's faith, your Sunday school teacher's faith. Heck no. Your husband's faith. No. Your wife's faith. No. Your faith has made you whole. We go to everybody else. And there's nothing wrong with power of agreement. We go to everybody else, want everybody else to pray for us, and everybody else to fast for us, and everybody else to intercede for us, and everybody else to do everything for us. And Jesus saying, I stopped for this man because he was yelling out, hungry for me. I'll stop for you. Your faith. He said, your faith. Not your association or your doctorate or your degree or how many chapters in the Bible you read and how many times you pray. He said, your faith has made you whole. And he said, right away, he could see. He followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. We are not supposed to follow signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are supposed to follow us. The reason the people followed Jesus was because they saw all the miracles, and Jesus all alone was telling them, the power that I have, I've given unto you. The Holy Spirit I have, I've given unto you. You go out and lay hands on the sick. You cast out devils. You raise the dead. You do this. I've given it to you. Freely I give to you. Freely you give it to others. It's a church. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy, man. Y'all crazy. I'm happy. Hang on. Y'all good? I'm still happy. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you right away. You could see. He followed Jesus. You know, this is sad, but in the church you see people, not just physical healings, but God does all kinds of things for people, and they don't follow him. It's like the 10 leopards. He healed 10 leopards, and only one turned around to come back. How many lepers? What'd I say? I said it wrong every time. You know, them people that had the sores all over them, he healed 10 of them. And only one come back. But we see that, man. We see that all the time. We see that all the time. How God does a work and God ministers to people and then they don't come back. But what I wanted to get to, and I got time, is the very next thing. You remember how Jesus said, with man it's impossible for the rich to be saved. But with God, nothing's impossible. How he said they had to go through the eye of the needle and all that. Watch this, man. I've studied the Bible my 37 years since I've been saved. And never put these two together until today. Never put these two together until today. Watch this. I'm telling y'all, God's been showing me stuff. I ain't never seen. It's just crazy. Y'all should be happy because you're the benefit of it. Wait a minute. I should be happy because you're praying for me and I'm the benefit of it. Amen? So let's get it right. Jesus entered Jericho. So he was trying to get in there and it then got stopped by this man yelling at him. Okay. Jesus entered into Jericho and was passing through. A man named Zacchaeus lived there. He was chief tax collector and was very rich. Tax collectors were hated because they extorted the people. Whatever amount of money they got over your taxes, if you owed $100 in taxes and they got $150, they got to keep $50. Kind of sounds like our IRS today, right? Okay. But it said he lived there, but I want you to notice it says he was very rich. Now, Jesus was trying to teach the disciples about all these things he's been telling them. He's trying to give them instructions on how things happen. And this man was a tax collector, so he was a chief sinner. That's what the word says. And he was rich. Double whammy. Oh, you say, well, how do you get that? I get that because a chief sinner means he was one of the worst sinners in town. And being rich, we just saw where Jesus said how hard it is for a rich man to get it into heaven. Right? Y'all heard me say that the other day. And watch what happens. Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. Somebody had said something. Maybe he even saw blind Bartimaeus get healed. I don't know. But he wanted to see who Jesus was. And that's what we need. We need people not to come see us. We need to have people come see who Jesus is or who Holy Ghost is that's moving in here, what's going on in our church. That's what we need to have people come see. And it says here, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but he was a short man. He could not see Jesus because of the crowd. He's too little. So he ran ahead. He was ambitious. He was thinking, I'm gonna run up ahead. And he climbed up a sycamore tree. He wanted to see who Jesus was, and he was coming that way. So Jesus reached the spot where Zacchaeus was. It never says that Zacchaeus did like the blind beggar. It never says that Zacchaeus did what the rich young ruler did either. The rich young ruler ran to Jesus and asked him a question, bowed down in front of him, asked him a question. The blind man yelled out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Zacchaeus didn't say a word. He just got up in the tree, was wanting to see who Jesus was. He was curious. And watch what happens. Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus, he knew who he was. Y'all know that. He knows who all of us are. We can't hide from him. He said, come down at once. He said, get down out of that tree, boy. Come down here. You remember, he ordered the blind man to be brought to him. So he told Zacchaeus to come down. That shows me that Jesus wants to be close to us. He wants it to be personal. He could have yelled, well, and said, if blind Bartimaeus is as far from me and Tommy, Jesus has the power. He could have said, blind Bartimaeus, be healed, and kept walking. But he didn't. He knew that blind Bartimaeus wanted to be healed. He knew that he was blind. He wanted him to come to him. He brought him to him so everybody could see. Same thing with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is up at the tree. Everybody there knew him because he was the chief tax collector. That means he's over everybody else. He was the chief sinner. You all right back there? The Spirit's moving, boy. Hallelujah. He's the chief sinner. And yet Jesus said, come down here. Come down here. I love that, man. And he says, come down here. And as he said, come down at once or make haste, he said, I must stay at your house today. That's a big no-no. No. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, he can't go stay at the house of a publican, a tax collector, and a sinner. Listen, I wish we could have been there to see that, but I'm telling you, the religious folk were tripping. They're tripping like they trip on us. There's churches around here that trip on us. They think we're crazy. I am. When they saw Jesus tell him to come down, they were already thinking, this is Scott Mann version. He must going to cast the devil out of him, or he must going to jump on him because he's such a big sinner. Don't we do that sometimes? I wish the Lord would get him, sick him. Well, I do too, but I mean, come on. He said, come down. And then he said, make haste. He said, because the day I'm going to stay at your house. Them religious folk are going crazy. So Zacchaeus came down at once. And look here. He welcomed him gladly. What did a rich young ruler do? He walked away sorrowfully. I never put all this together, but Jesus told the disciples how hard it is for a rich man to go to heaven, much less a rich tax collector. And when that young man walked away sorrowfully, he chose that day. I don't know if he ever come back. I hope he did. But he walked away sorrowfully. This chief tax collector, who was supposed to be the most hated man in the city, come down, and when Jesus said, make haste, I'm going to come to your house, he says he come down immediately, and he welcomed Jesus. Can you imagine? I mean, come on, y'all. It's just like a dang movie star or something. That's the way we can... A movie star would come in here, and they would be talking to everybody, and then they'd pick out, and they'd say, Larry, I'm going to your house today. Everybody in here said, why is he going to Larry's house? Why ain't he coming to mine? But it was so much bigger than that, because this dude was a chief sinner. He was rich. He got rich by cheating people, by extorting people. And Jesus says, I'm going to your house. He didn't pick out the priest that was out there following him around. He didn't pick out all them other rich people that were following him around and all this stuff. He picked out the worst one there and said, I'm going to your house. I love that about Jesus. But Zacchaeus welcomed him. You know why people don't get saved today? Because they don't welcome Jesus. He loves everybody on the face of this earth the same. He don't love none of us no different. The difference is how much we love him. It ain't that we so good that he loves us. I've always said that, you know, I heard Marla Nelson say that one time, that she was God's favorite. I loved that when she said that. Some people got mad and thought she was arrogant. I loved it. I want to be God's favorite. When you was a kid, if you had siblings, Kevin and Curtis, didn't y'all want to be the favorite? I mean, you want to be the favorite. My brother John was the favorite, and I didn't like it. Because he's a sissy. He's listening. He wasn't a sissy. He was a favorite. My mama loved him more than any of them. That's just the truth. My dad loved David. And me and Mark was redheaded stepchildren. Well, okay. And look here. All the people saw this. They all saw it because Jesus told them to come down. All the people saw this. Guess what? They saw blind Bartimaeus too. All the people saw it. They began to whisper among themselves. Oh, that's what people do. Backbite. They whisper. Did you see what Pastor said or Pastor did? Get out of here. All the people saw this. They began to whisper among themselves. They said, Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. I've had people literally come up to me and ask me, why in the world would I go to a prison? Glenna can tell you, I had a woman that was a pillar of the church come up to me one Wednesday night. I had about 15 men from other churches that would come to our church. We'd take two vans and we'd go to jails. I'd take them to the jails. And this woman come up to me this particular night, and she'd never really even spoke to me. I knew her daughter pretty good, but she'd never really spoke to me a lot, but I knew she was a pillar of the church. And she come up to me and she said, are you not coming into church tonight? And I said, no, ma'am, I'm going to the prison. Well, why would you want to do that? That wasn't the right thing to say. I said, I'd rather go to the prison than be in that church with hypocrites. They wasn't hypocrites. I was a smart aleck, and I got in trouble over it. But it is what it is. But you see what Jesus does? They all whispered about it because Jesus was going to be a guest of a sinner. And the truth is, all of them were slammed full of sin and didn't even realize it because they was religious. I've told y'all before, a demon-possessed person and a religious person is the hardest people in the world to deal with. That's the two toughest spirits to deal with, is a demon-possessed person and a religious-possessed person. And trust me, there's religious-possessed people all around. We don't have any here because we run them off, but they're all in all these other churches. Y'all get that later. Go watch the video. But Zacchaeus stood up. Now listen to this. He's standing there in front of all these people. He knows he's a chief sinner. He knows that these people hate him. And you know, I thought before, when I preached this a long time ago, I thought, I bet they stood in his way like he don't even deserve to see him. He's a piece of, you know what I'm saying? And you know, he knew he did wrong. But it said that Zacchaeus stood up. So I'm assuming he bowed down. It says he stood up and he said, "Look, Lord, here and now, I give half of what I own to those who are poor. And if I have cheated anybody," that's how he made his living, "out of anything, I will pay it back. I will pay it back four times the amount I took." That's what a sheep, someone that stole a sheep or a goat or a lamb had to pay back four times. He's saying, "I'm a thief. I'm a robber. But right now, I'm convinced who you say you are. I'm convinced that you're the Son of God. I'm convinced that I'm a sinner. And right now, I'll make it right." What did the rich young ruler do? Jesus didn't even ask Zacchaeus to give up his money. He didn't even ask him. The rich young ruler did all these awesome things. He wasn't this great sinner. He wasn't. He was a great person. He's somebody that everybody would want to be in their church. But he was in love with money. And Jesus called it out with Zacchaeus. He didn't have to call anything out. You know why? Because Zacchaeus, the moment he had faith and believed in his heart, guess what? I believe he was saved right then. Because Jesus had not died on the cross. The Holy Spirit had not come. But I believe, just like the disciples, I believe he was saved right then. And what did he say? "Man, I'll give half of it to the poor. And if I cheated anybody, I'll give them four times as much." You see the difference between the rich young ruler, who was a really, really good person, and this old Zacchaeus, who wasn't nothing but a scoundrel. Y'all feel what I'm saying? I've been saved for 37 years. I've dealt with anybody you can think of. If I hadn't, I don't know where they at. But I can tell you that God pours his Spirit out on the just and the unjust. And they ain't none of us worthy. I don't care how good you think you are, you ain't worthy. If it ain't for Jesus, none of us are worthy. And Zacchaeus, the whole town knew he wasn't worthy. Oh man, the whole town knew he wasn't worthy, but guess who thought he was? Jesus. So when everybody thinks you're not worthy, and you're not, and Zacchaeus wasn't, but neither was anybody else standing around there that thought they were, had their chest poked out. Matter of fact, you go back and read in chapter 17, or the first of 18, it talked about the Pharisee and the sinner praying in the synagogue. He dealt with that too. He's dealing with the religious people. Right before he dies, he's dealing with the religious people. He's trying to tell them, "Look, y'all ain't as faithful and y'all ain't as saved as you think you are. That don't give us an excuse to sin. That don't give us an excuse to live in sin." I am not saying that. Matter of fact, grace wasn't given so we wouldn't sin. Grace wasn't given because we was going to sin. Grace is given so we wouldn't sin. So don't take that to the bank. So Pastor Scott said, heck no. You better flee from the very appearance of evil. You better flee from sin. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said, "Lord, here and now I give half that I owe to those who are poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back. I will pay it back four times the amount it took." And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today," right then, "today salvation has come to your house." He not only got showed in front of all them people that Jesus was going to go to his house. He called him out, told him to come down, talk to him face to face. But now he says, "Salvation's come to your house." Those people heard that. Those religious people heard that. And they knew they kept 600 and something laws. And this man ain't kept none of them. And now Jesus, just because of one little conversation, because of him saying, "I'm going to give half of my stuff and four times as much." And Jesus said, "Today salvation come to your house." I love it. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today salvation comes to your house. You are a member of Abraham's family line. The Son of Man came to look for those lost and save them. The Son of Man came to seek and to save those which was lost. If you're saved tonight, you didn't find Jesus, he found you. He ain't lost. You see what I'm saying? Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, came to us, drew us. Zacchaeus was up in a tree and Jesus called him out. Where was you at? I can tell you today I was in the choir loft. I was singing in the choir, lost as a goose. I didn't profess to be a Christian, did I? I told everybody I wasn't saved. Why they had me in the choir is crazy, because if you ain't saved, you ain't getting up here. I promise you that. I don't care how good you can sing. I don't care how good you can play. If you ain't saved, you ain't coming up here. Matter of fact, if you got sin in your life, you ain't coming up here. If I find out someone on the worship team, Tommy, or anybody else on the staff, any trustee, any elder, any Sunday school teacher, anybody, if I find out they're living in sin and got sin in their life, they're going to step down. Don't look at me like that. I stepped my own daughter down because she wasn't doing right. Don't be asking me what she did. It ain't none of your dang business. She wasn't but about, 15 years old? Now, maybe Glenna, man. It's hot. I set Glenna down. She ain't done that ever since she's been here. Hallelujah. Anybody got a room? No, I'm kidding. No, but you can't have sin, known sin, in the leadership in the church. It's everywhere. If you can play good, if you can sing good. I had a guy that, y'all listen, I know I'm gonna stop, but a minute. I'm gonna show you how it works, though. I had a black friend of mine that I met at the pawn shop. A great guy. Musician, like, can sing awesome. So we start talking, and he tells me the church that he's leading worship at. He's the worship leader at the church. And he told me, he said, I want you to pray because I got a situation going on. He was living with somebody. And I asked him straight up, I said, have you talked to the pastor? You're leading worship. You're living with this woman. I said, you having sex with her? He said, well, yeah, I'm living with her. I mean, not everybody does that, but he said he was. And I'm like, so have you told the pastor? He said, oh, he knows about it. I said, hang on, bro. I said, you mean to tell me that you're leading a worship on Sunday morning, and the lady that you're sleeping with is coming to the church, and the pastor knows about it, and he still lets you leave worship? He said, yeah. I said, leave that church right now. I said, leave the church right now. He's a piece of garbage. He ain't no preaching. I'll say it again. He is a piece of garbage if he'll let somebody do that in his church, knowing they're living in full-blown sin. He's a piece of garbage. In my book, he ain't a preacher. You can get mad. Some of y'all look mad. You can get mad at me all you want. How are you going to stand up and be a pastor of a church and allow stuff like that and think it's okay? Baptize them into the church. Let them join the membership of the church. Come on, y'all, don't get mad at me. This is Bible. Do we love them? Yeah, heck yeah, you love them. The line's got to be drawn somewhere. Anyway, I don't know where all that come from. I guess it come from these religious people looking at a sinner thinking they worse than him. We ain't no better than nobody, but the living in sin's got to stop. Amen? Hallelujah. Bow your heads. I got to tell you one more. Open your eyes again. Just one more. When we went to Tennessee, they had this scavenger hunt, right? And I had seen this movie, and I believe the guy's name was Pastor Johns. He was the pastor right before Martin Luther King came to the church in Atlanta. And in this movie, they were very, racist divisions and racial divisions and everything and all this. And the white people wouldn't let them do anything and all this stuff. Well, then in the church, he's having problems in the church too. So he preached the word and people didn't like it. He stood for what was right. People didn't like it. So this elder in the church came up to him and he said, Pastor Johns, my son has died and I want you to do his funeral. And Pastor John's basically said your son was out in the street and died doing drugs or whatever, you know. And he said, you're still going to do my son's funeral. He said, I'll see to it. So in the movie, it shows the church is full, and it shows that deacon or whatever he was, their elder. And Pastor John's comes up to the pulpit, and he looks out, and that man's got this, like, smirk on his face, like, yeah, I told you would do it. I love this. Pastor John's comes up. He looks out at the congregation, and he looks out. He said, he lived like a dog. He died like a dog. Undertaker, take him out. Woo! He preached his funeral, all right. So in this scavenger hunt, the way it worked out, we was at the funeral home, and you had to do a commercial at the funeral home. And Pastor Bill's being very professional, and you had to video everything. And Pastor Bill's being very professional doing all this stuff. And we just jump out of the car, and they said, who's going to do it? I said, I am. So they come over and they start being, I said, he lived like a dog, he died like a dog. Undertaker, take him out. We took off to the car, and Pastor Bill's like, what'd they just do? That was our commercial. You live like a dog, you die like a dog. Undertaker's going to take you out. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness that you showed to blind Bartimaeus, the faithfulness that you showed to Zacchaeus, and the faithfulness you've shown to us. You have truly been merciful and gracious to us. If there's somebody watching, if there's somebody in this room right now that is breathing, and we all are, we'd be dead. You have shown us mercy. You have given us another opportunity, just like Zacchaeus, to give our life to Christ. Just like blind Bartimaeus, salvation came to their house that day. His blind Bartimaeus' faith made him whole, and Zacchaeus, just believing in his heart who Jesus was, salvation come to his house, not just him, but to his house. Paul told the jailer, don't kill yourself. Hang on, don't kill yourself. All of us are here. And he said, what must I do to be saved, Paul? And Paul looked at him and said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you should be saved. You and your house. God, save the lost. You said you came to seek and to save that which is lost. Give us a burden for the lost. Help us as New Vision Ministries, this church, the intercessors in this church, to pray for the lost. Yeah, we're praying for revival, and that goes along with it, but help us to pray for conviction on the lost and conviction on the religious people and conviction on those that come in that don't cuss and drink and smoke and ramble around and have sex outside of marriage and all that. I'm talking about people that come in and don't do none of that stuff, that think in themselves that they're righteous. When none of us are righteous without you. None of our righteousness is like filthy rags. It's the righteousness that you give us that makes us righteous and holy, that makes us redoubtable, one to be greatly feared because of you, not because of us, but because of you. May we hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. May we walk outside these doors every single time and love those that others don't love. Reach those that others deem unreachable. Equip the saints to do the work of the gospel. And Lord, that we would all be found faithful when you come back. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Love you guys. God bless you. And I mean it. See you Sunday morning. Pray for conviction, the power of God to fall in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, if you got any questions about the workday, see JC, because we need a lot of help. But see him and we'll get you hooked up. They sign up sheets out in the foyer. Sign up sheets in the foyer. What? Child care. Heck no, put a broom in your child's hand or a rake or something. That'd be, no, I'm just, we got a playground.